I wanted to record a new intro for this episode of MotoGPOD, so I'm recording this segment after I completed the main podcast, which we'll get to very, very shortly. I just heard the terrible news about the cowardly acts of terrorism on the London Underground bus, and I hope that our listeners in the UK are all well. These things always make me so sad. It's such a waste. It just makes me sick. It's a little bit sad to continue talking about trivial things like MotoGP or Formula One or what have you after something like that happens, but I don't know. Life has to go on, I guess. So my prayers are with you, and I hope that all is well. I also wanted to mention that iTunes listeners will notice yet a third naming convention for the podcast as of this episode. This is the last one, I promise. The iTunes podcast implementation has a few quirks about the way it names the files, and if you use an iPod, it's even worse. So the new name format is simply MotoGPOD and the date in year, month, day format. Users of iPod and other podcasting apps are mostly unaffected, but the name will show up a little bit differently in the iPod interface. It's all a little bit frustrating, but I think that a date is more useful than just a simple number, so we're straight going to that format now. And last thing for this little intro, I noticed that for some bizarre reason, I referred to Brian Drebber of Speed TV as Vern. Not just once, but several times. I'm not sure where that came from. Perhaps I was a little bit tired or something like that. His handle on the Speed TV internet forum is V4Dreb, so maybe that's what caused it. I saw the V, and it's Vern Drebber. I don't know. In any case, I want to apologize very much to Vern. Brian. Just a very small joke there. Sorry. I do want to apologize to Brian and to my listeners for such a lame mistake, and also apologize for not fixing it in the podcast. But I'm just out of time, what with work and getting ready for Laguna Seca and all of that. Your drinking game for this podcast is to count the number of times I say Laguna Seca, starting now, and take a shot or have a beer on every one. Have a good time. It got a little bit ridiculous, so watch for that. Okay, that's enough introductory repair. Let's get on with the show. Hello, welcome to another episode of the MotoGPOD podcast. I'm Bob Hayes, I'll be your host today, and we have a very big show planned today with the Laguna Seca US GP preview. If you're coming to us from the Formula Pod podcast and you heard the comments that they made earlier on, welcome aboard. I'm happy to have you here. I'm glad that you found us after they gave the wrong URL for the website. I hope that you enjoyed your little trip to the official MotoGP.com website. And I assume that you found us through some podcast directories or something like that. MotoGPOD.com is the website for the MotoGPOD podcast. Any publicity is good publicity, so I'm not too worried about it. And I thank those guys a lot for mentioning us on their show. They have a great show there. If you're into Formula One, for our other listeners that are MotoGP fans, if you're into Formula One at all, you should check out the Formula Pod podcast at formulapod.com. They have an entertaining show, very, very well produced, a lot of insight, a lot of good news, commentary, funny. It's a good show. It's well worth listening to. So I encourage you to check that out at formulapod.com. So on with tonight's show, we're going to talk about, first of all, Laguna Seca sells out for the Red Bull US Grand Prix. Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca announced that tickets for Saturday and Sunday, July 9th and 10th, of the Red Bull US Grand Prix are sold out and no longer available for purchase through the ticket office. A limited number of tickets are still available at the official ticket outlets while their supplies last, and you can still get gouged on eBay or at the gate by the scalpers if you'd like. Some general admission tickets are still available for the Friday practice, but officially, there are no tickets available yet anymore for the race. Approximately 53,900 tickets have been sold for each of the weekend days. That's a lot of people. So it's going to be very crowded, very good race, a lot of excitement. Gil Campbell, CEO and General Manager of Laguna Seca, said, "With almost 150,000 people expected to be here, next week's Red Bull US Grand Prix will be the largest event in the 49-year history of Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca. The combination of MotoGP, Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, and the Monterey Peninsula has proven irresistible. Our phones have barely stopped ringing since we announced the events last August. Only once before has Laguna Seca sold out, and that was in 1998 for the Rolex Monterey Historic Automobile Races. But that announcement wasn't even made until after a large walk-in crowd showed up on the Sunday of the event. Next weekend's Red Bull US Grand Prix marks the first time a sellout announcement has been made prior to the event weekend in the 49-year history of the world-renowned circuit. It's going to be, like I said, it's a fantastic race. There's been a lot of promotion for it. That's good. obviously there's enough to have sold it out. I'm kind of curious to find out how many of those people are traveling from foreign countries. That'll be interesting if we ever get any statistics like that. I do always love the way they say that there are going to be 150,000 people there at the event, when really it's 50,000 people going for 3 days, but that's normal. If you ever do trade shows or anything like that, the attendance statistics are always made to sound as good as possible. In any case, count on lots of traffic, lots of people, and probably lots of fun, too. It's going to be a really, really good time. You might want to make sure that you bring your sunscreen. Weather should be good, nice and hot for that. MotoGP.com recently had a story about the history of the American GP, facts and figures, where they talked about some of the statistics of previous MotoGP races in the U.S. Let's take a look at some of these. There have been a total of 8 motorcycle Grand Prix events held in America. The first 2 motorcycle Grands Prix in the United States were in 1964 and 1965. At that time, the U.S. round of the World Championship took place at Daytona. Both races were won by Mike Hillwood on an MV Agusta. Motorcycle Grand Prix returned to the United States in 1988, with the races held at Laguna Seca in Monterey, California. Races ran from 1988 to 1994, skipping 92. Attendance was fantastic in the early years at Laguna Seca, but it dropped off dramatically at the end. Strange, considering how much American riders owned the 500cc championship during most of the 80s and early 90s. But that's the fickle American public, I guess. That brings up a sidebar about nationalism in motorsport. Personally, although I root for Americans in MotoGP now, I'm not the kind of person that would not watch it if there were no Americans in it. I like Formula One, and there hasn't been an American there since Michael Andretti in, what, 93 or 94? And how well did he do? I also like WRC, and I have no idea when the last American competed in that. Guys like Rossi and Schumacher, Petter Solberg, and they're just so unbelievably at the top of the game all the time. They're amazing to watch no matter where they come from or what language they speak. Who cares? Okay, enough for the little sidebar. Of the 6 top-class races that run at Laguna Seca, only one was won by a non-American rider. Wow. Eddie Lawson won in 88, Wayne Rainey in 89, 90, and 91, and John Kocinski in 93. Luca Cadeloro of Italy won in 1994, ending that American winning streak. Does that tell us anything for this weekend's race? Probably not, but it's kind of interesting. Yamaha riders were victorious 5 times out of 6 at Laguna Seca. The only other manufacturer with a win was Kajiva in 1993. Honda has never had a victory in the premier class at Laguna Seca. Their best has been second place, with Wayne Gardner in 1988 and Mick Doohan in both 1990 and 1991. Suzuki had riders finish on the podium 3 times at Laguna Seca. Kevin Schwantz in 1989 and 1991, and Alex Barros in 1993. I don't see that happening this year. In fact, I couldn't find the thread, but I remember talk about the possibility of the Suzuki Factory AMA team lap times being better than the GP team's possibility. Not sure about that one. We'll see. Like I said, can't remember where I saw the thread. It might have just been idle rumor. Who knows? It sounds a little far-fetched to me, but you never know. Of the 18 podium positions available from the 6 Premier Class GP races held at Laguna Seca, exactly 50% of them have been taken by riders from the United States. At least one rider from the USA has finished on the podium in each of the previous Premier Class GPs at Laguna Seca. That's kind of an amazing statistic when you think about it. It made me wonder if you would find the same sort of percentage of Italians on the podium at Mugello, for instance. So, I decided to compile that statistic. I looked at the results for the last 6 races from 2000 through 2005. And it turns out that Italians have claimed 11 out of 18 podium positions at Mugello. Since that wasn't really the result that I wanted, I decided to check Spanish riders at the Spanish Grand Prix as well. Now, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but to me it seems as though Spain virtually gets 3 motorcycle Grand Prix a year, if you count Catalunya and Valencia. I know that Catalunya and Valencia are semi-autonomous government entities, and that there are ethnic and linguistic differences all over Spain, but I don't fully understand how it all works. They don't teach us that stuff in American schools, and when you look on a map, Valencia and Barcelona are in Spain. In any case, in the true Spanish Grand Prix at Jerez, for the first 6 races, for the last 6 races, only 5 out of a possible 18 podium positions have been claimed by Spaniards. For Catalunya, the number is 4, and at Valencia, it's only 2 out of 15 podiums. I only counted 15 races for Valencia because the 2005 race hasn't yet been held. And I figure if you're going to have some more or less meaningless statistics, you might as well be consistent. Interestingly, Italians have claimed 11 of the 18 for Catalunya, 7 of the 15 for Valencia, and 7 of 18 for Jerez. That's the Rossi factor for you. It remains to be seen what will happen at the U.S. Grand Prix this year, but I'm sticking by my prediction that Rossi will win it. I'm probably way off base with my other predictions, which, if I recall correctly, were Giovinazzi in second, Edwards in third, and then Hayden and Melandre either fourth or fifth. But we'll see. I don't want to change those predictions because that's backsliding, but I think that Giovinazzi can pull it off. I think he's going to come out of the slump that he's in, find the bike, find the setup, and come out and surprise us. I really hope so. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see an American or two on the podium. I really hope that it happens. But I think that what I want to see more than that is a good close race where we don't know the outcome until the last lap.
Hey, this is Doug Davis from All Things Ducati. Hope you're enjoying this MotoGPOD podcast. Now, if your interest in motorcycling leans towards red and Italian, and you know what Desmo Drive is, then check out my podcast series at allthingsducati.libsyn.com or all better podcast directories everywhere. Ducati racing news, bike reviews, history, and business updates will fuel your passion for these V-twin wonders.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate that. I'd encourage you to check out All Things Ducati. It's a good podcast. I listened to his Laguna Seca preview, and I was like, uh-oh, got to raise the bar here. This guy did a really good job. So it's a good podcast. You should check it out. On to Michelin's challenge at Laguna Seca. MotoGP.com had another article about Michelin's plans and challenges for Laguna Seca. Tires play an important part of any race. It's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. MotoGP doesn't have quite the same focus on the tire wars that you get in Formula One or WRC. For instance, each rider's tire manufacturer isn't listed quite so obviously on the screen and everything like it is in Formula One, but it's still very important. And I think that there's a lot more in common between a motorcycle racing tire and a motorcycle street tire than there is between a Formula One or a rally tire and a regular car tire. So this is one area of racing where the lessons learned on the track translate to better tires for Joe Sevillian, or Jane Sevillian, as the case may be. Michelin has won three Premier Class GPs at Laguna Seca, all of them with American riders. Eddie Lawson, riding for Marlboro team, Yamaha Team Roberts at the time, won the inaugural Laguna GP in 88. Wayne Rainey, who actually lives in Monterey, home of Laguna Seca, or at least he did at the time, won the 1990 race, also riding for Marlboro Yamaha Team Roberts. And Arkansas native John Kuczynski won the second-to-last U.S. GP at Laguna Seca in 1993 on a Kajiva. This weekend, the French tire brand aims to continue its unbeaten string of victories in the 2005 MotoGP World Championship. By the way, if you don't pay attention to the tire manufacturers in MotoGP, the unbeaten string of victories for Michelin isn't really saying much. All the top riders are on the Michelins. It's not just the tires that are holding back Kawasaki and Suzuki and one of the Ducatis and WCM and those guys that are on the Bridgestones and the Dunlops and things like that. I wish there was a little bit more parity in some of the motorcycles there. I personally use Dunlops on my motorcycle, so just so you know. Nicolas Goubert, Michelin's chief of motorcycle competition, said, "We're really happy to be taking MotoGP to the States for the first time. And Laguna is a really impressive circuit. You always get good racing there. The track is a real challenge. We've had our ups and downs there, though we were strong during our last few visits in World Silly Bike." But he went on to say, "Everything changed when we started running our 16.5-inch front tire, because the front is very important at Laguna. There's a lot of downhill corner entries, even more than at Mugello. And the 16.5 gives you good feedback, so you've got the good confidence to really attack the turns. It's never that easy to find rear grip at Laguna. It's usually a bit slippery, but it shouldn't be a problem." "Laguna isn't a new circuit for us," he continued. "So it's not a totally new track like Istanbul. But it's been a few years since we raced there, so the bikes and the tires are very different. Our knowledge from previous visits will give us a few clues for tire design, but otherwise it's a new challenge. So we'll be taking a larger than usual range of tires, so we have something to cover all eventualities." I think those are pretty interesting comments, particularly that one about it's never that easy to find a rear grip at Laguna Seca. It's going to make things interesting to find the different styles between, say, Nicky Hayden's backing it in, dirt track style, get that rear end sliding around, and Max Biaggi's 125 and 250cc race, very, very smooth corner entries sort of a thing. How is grip going to affect these guys at Laguna Seca if they're not getting the same sort of levels of grip that they're normally accustomed to? Because Michelin tires can't seem to provide it, or actually it's not so much Michelin tires' fault, it's the nature of the track apparently, then how is that going to affect their riding style? We know that Nicky Hayden's been there before, and he's familiar with the track, and he's won at that track before, and as far as I know, it's one of the tracks that he likes. Okay, Valentino Rossi made a few comments in an interview earlier this week about the upcoming USGP at Laguna Seca. After an absolutely dominant start to the season, Rossi is hoping to add to a string of victories at Laguna Seca, a track that he's never been to before. "We've all been waiting for this race," said Rossi. "Usually the new races we go to are in strange places, but to go to California is a real pleasure. I have been in the U.S. if possible 5 or 6 years ago, but only for 1 week. For sure, California is a very good place, and a lot of people say that the number of MotoGP fans is possible have become more and more over the last few years is possible. So I'm expecting a lot of fans. It's possible I'm also very happy to go to California for the sun and beautiful girls. I think it's a good place." Okay, sorry. That's enough of making fun of Rossi. I shouldn't do it at all. His foreign language skills are much better than mine. But it's so much fun. So, Rossi went on to say, "I've never been to California or Laguna, but I know it's a strange track with a difficult first section and it will be hard. I know it only from television, but I have been practicing with the PlayStation and more or less I know the layout. I think the track is difficult because it goes up and down a lot, and it's also quite technical with some very difficult points, such as the first left after the straight and the corkscrew especially. For sure, with the MotoGP bike, it will be interesting. Usually, I like a lot the more technical and difficult tracks. I like a track to be quite fast, but also if it is more technical, more difficult, I'm happy. The important thing is the condition of the surface. It's important that the grip is good and that there are not too many bumps, because now the bikes are very, very fast. I hope to have a good surface, and then I don't think the layout of the track will be a problem." So, Rossi's comments there lead us to believe that I was right in my early predictions that he's going to win. But what's he going to say? You know, I think I'm going to lose? No, he's Rossi, and he will go out there. He will do well no matter what. He might get some help from teammate Colin Edwards, but I don't think he should count on a lot of it. Edwards said in an interview with Speed TV's very own Greg White that he's not telling. So whether or not he meant that he wouldn't tell Rossi anything or that he just wouldn't tell the rest of the MotoGP riders anything wasn't clear, but you can bet that Edwards has his own agenda out there, and he might not necessarily have the team's interests first. I think with the extra practice time on Friday, Rossi was going to learn that track sufficiently to do very well. I'm really looking forward to seeing him and all the others on Sunday. It will be a hell of a weekend. If you're not going, I'm sorry. I wish you could be there, but Speed TV's got excellent coverage. If you don't have Speed TV, there's probably still time to call your cable company or satellite provider or whoever and get it, because they have qualifying coverage on Saturday, which they've never done before. Live qualifying coverage on Saturday for a MotoGP race, and live coverage of the race itself on Sunday. And then also they're showing the AMA Superbike races, which taped delayed Saturday race. I think they're showing that on Sunday. They've got the Super Stock and Super Sport scattered throughout the week. It's going to be a big weekend. Vern Drebber, the motorcycle AMA Superbike announcer on Speed TV, was on the Speed Insider forums making a few comments about, you know, how he'll be there and some of the preparations that he's making. And it's kind of neat to actually be able to interact with these guys. I'm not sure if the feed that you'll get from Speed TV is going to have good old Nick Harris and Matthew Roberts, or if it will be Vern and whoever's sidekick is for this particular race. That's kind of interesting to find out. They may sort of spice in pit side commentary and things with Vern Drebber and or with the others. I'm not sure how that'll work. We'll have to find out. I'm sure that there are contractual issues to deal with and things like that mere mortals like ourselves can't understand, but I've got it set to tape on the old TiVo, actually on two different TiVos, and plus I'll be there myself listening to it on the radio and watching it in person, and it's going to be good stuff. Can't wait. So I will definitely record some stuff from the podcast. I'm taking a small voice recorder down there to get some audio impressions, do some talking with my friends, maybe, who knows, some interviews with people that I meet there. I've also been contacted by another individual that has some audio equipment that he wanted to help with the podcast and everything, and so we might hook up and we'll put together what we both record and see what we come up with, and hopefully we'll be able to put up a really good post-race wrap-up and also get some material to use for future podcasts. This is a big opportunity for MotoGP OD, the podcast, because this is the only race I'm going to be able to get to go to, only MotoGP race that I'll be able to get to go to this year. I managed to get to go to Donington last year, but, you know, when these races are in England and Germany and Japan, it's extraordinarily expensive to go. And if you're just going for a motorcycle race, you're spending thousands of dollars. And you know, I'm just a working guy like most of you, and I only have so much money and so much time, and you know, you have to pick and choose your vacations and things carefully. So like I said, I'm fortunate enough that it's only about a 9-10 hour drive away. I'm going to make the best of it, and I want to share it with you guys. If you're interested in listening, just keep staying tuned to MotoGPOD. We are now listed in iTunes. The number of subscribers is climbing drastically. I was fairly impressed with our, after about the first week or so, that with the numbers of downloads that I was getting and subscribers that the feed burner stats were showing that we're constantly hitting. And I've gotten a lot of emails, you know, from people that are finding MotoGPOD in the podcast directories and these sorts of things, and listening to it. This podcast stuff has just taken the United States by storm, I guess. Everybody's doing it. So people are finding out about MotoGPOD. I'm kind of interested in hearing from you. Where did you find out about MotoGPOD? You know, what advertising is successful for me here? People are finding out about it. They're sending me emails. It's I thank you very much for those emails. A lot of compliments and everything. I'm real happy to hear that. It's kind of cool, in fact. We'll wait and see how it goes. Hopefully the bandwidth doesn't start becoming a problem, which I'm already a little bit worried about. I've made a few technical changes here, so hopefully you'll notice a slightly better quality on the audio, doing a different microphone. And I may do some adjustment to try to make the file sizes a little bit smaller. I record in mono, figuring that this microphone is a mono microphone. There's not a lot of point in doing stereo. I'd like to get the sampling size and so forth down, to get that file size down, which benefits both me and you. You in that there's a smaller download time, and me in that there's a lot less stress for the file server. So we'll have to see how that works out. And in the meantime, you can count on decent quality and quasi-decent production values from MotoGPOD. I do have big plans for the future. I hope to add some music. You know, we're one of the only podcasts out there where it seems like I just jumped right in and started yakking away rather than finding some good theme music with appropriate motorcycle noises and things like that in the beginning. But the one thing I'm not is I'm definitely not a musician. I primarily work with computers and video, and even audio to me is quite a new thing, you know, let alone music. So I'm learning a lot about audio. I'm learning how to things sound better and do the editing and all that without making it too obvious, and hopefully I'll learn a little bit more about music, and we'll get some music on there too for the intro and outro. And I think we're going to continue with some of the sound effects, even though I did get some complaints. That's one of the only complaints that I've had so far, was that people didn't like the annoying World War II submarine Auga klaxon dive horn thing that I used for the warning that there's spoilers ahead for my Assen race wrap-up. So if you have any comments on that or anything else, feel free to email me at motogpod@motogpod.com. And you can always find the links and everything on the website, www.motogpod.com. That's another plan for the future, to sort of expand that. Right now it's a fairly simple page. But as I actually say on that page, I'm not a big fan of big, flashy websites. And I'm not in this to make a big, flashy website. I'm in this to make a podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoy making it. It's kind of like talking to my friends about something that I enjoy and love, and it's a passion of mine, which is MotoGP, and I hope that you enjoyed hearing it. Tune in next time for the wrap-up, and we'll find out what happened at Laguna Seca. Might be a little bit late this week because I'll be driving back home on Monday. Doubt I'll have internet access, but look for it, hopefully at least some parts of it on Tuesday, and I'll be sprinkling it out throughout the week after that. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later.